Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom's on the other side of the glass and making sure all the buttons are pushed the right way and everything is going the way it should. So Tom and I certainly welcome all of our listeners to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, November 7th, 2014. Hope you had a good election week and are looking forward to decompressing maybe this weekend and not thinking about political stuff. We'll be live and are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we podcast all of our shows. We've got all of our show archive. I can't believe it. I was going back thinking about this. Started all of this in January of 2011. That's about 1,000 shows that we've already done here in almost 4 years. Our media partners like to do a big shout-out on Friday. These are people who support us with links on their websites, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sal Rita Sun. And our newest media partner, our friends at Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, TucsonLifestyle.com. And our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Mr. Mike Varney is here, CEO and President of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, joining me to question Mr. Varney. We welcome back to the show Sarah Garrett Gass. And Sarah took a couple of weeks off from the Buckmaster Show because she had some other top priorities, which we understand at the Arizona Daily Star. It's called an election.
Indeed. Very glad to be back. Missed being here.
Sarah is a columnist. Her pieces appear just about every Thursday. She's also editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star and host of the Newsmakers series on the Star's website, reconditioned, repositioned website at Tucson.com. And that will start up, I assume, after now the election's over with?
Yes.
Okay. And call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We invite you to be a friend also of our program as we push now over 3,800 friends. Our friend Mike Varney is here. Mr. Varney, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here.
Well, it is, and we've already welcomed Sarah, and I want to ask you, of course, about the election. A lot of controversy over the chamber's political action committee's endorsements. Some folks were very upset. Some had threatened to withdraw their membership from the chamber. When it was all said and done, and you look at the endorsements of the chamber and how it all turned out, what do you come up with?
Well, there weren't a lot of people, Bill, just for clarity, there weren't a lot of people who threatened to withdraw their memberships from the chamber. We got a few calls from a few people who had questions about our process, a few people who questioned why we would endorse a certain candidate, but we get that after every election or after every time our candidate evaluation committee and our PAC meets. We get that every election cycle, so there's absolutely nothing new about that. We live in a metropolitan area of 1 million people, Bill, and to the thought of a group of very politically aware, politically balanced D's, R's, and I's who go through a rigorous process to come up with their recommendations and endorsements and so forth, to think that these people are going to come up with a slate of candidates that 1 million people are going to agree with lock, stock, and barrel is not happening. So we have three choices at the chamber. We can just sit on the sidelines and not get engaged. That way, nobody's going to criticize us because we're not in the game. We're mm-hmm. on the bench. Mm-hmm. We can do it the way some chambers have done it, and frankly, I think there's very little of this going on now. But we can get a small group of people who just have one political persuasion to go into an office filled with cigar smoke and come out magically, and there's a list of endorsements. And ironically, all of them have the same party affiliation after their name, or we can do it the way that we do it, which is to get a balanced panel of politically aware people who donate dozens of hours to this process and do the analysis and the evaluation very, very, very scientifically with scorecards. Same candidates for the same office are asked the same questions, and that's how we arrived at our endorsements. So the phone calls and emails that we got, few as they were people who just questioned our process. They wanted to know how we did what we did. sometimes people said, well, I can't agree with a certain endorsement, but now I understand your process. And they were very happy that we went through the steps that we did.
All right. Here's Sarah.
A question that I think a lot of people have is, how do you come to an endorsement process? And the process that you described is similar. I mean, it differs in some ways to what we at the Arizona Daily Star editorial board does. We talk to all the candidates. We invite all the candidates. Not everyone comes. We interview them. We discuss. We kind of line up, you know, here are our institutional values. How do candidates kind of fall in next to that. In your discussions, were there issues that kind of, how did you weigh some issues more than others? Like with the reaction to some of the endorsements that we did at the Star, specifically in LD9 with Ethan Orr and Victoria Steele, some folks responded saying, you know, how could you endorse someone who isn't pro-choice with Ethan Orr, and it kind of, you have to kind of balance what issues are
sure.
Mm-hmm. you don't cross that line, and what is, how do you
right.
you know how
sure.
do you measure effectiveness? How did you come down on that?
Well, our framework for asking questions obviously has an economic slant to it, and we have a political agenda of things that we want to do at the chamber to improve the local economy, and then the questions are generally aligned with the elements of improving the local economy. So that's our framework for asking the questions. There are a number of voters, and you just gave a classic example, somebody who's either pro-life or pro-choice, and that's the only criterion that they will use to decide who to cast their vote for. There's not much you can do in that particular context. That's a pass-fail kind of thing. Unfortunately, in politics, you have to really go for the best candidate, whether they're completely 100% aligned or not. You go with the best candidate overall. We have a little unwritten arbitrary metric that if somebody's aligned with us 80% on 80% of our agenda, then that's somebody we can take a pretty serious look at. But they don't have to meet that litmus test of being 100% aligned, because very few candidates are.
With Governor-elect Ducey, one of his, you know, primary economic plans is to drive down the income tax, the state income tax, to as near to zero as possible. What is a business guy? Mm-hmm. How do you figure that out? What are your thoughts? What's your thoughts on that? And then also, how do you balance a budget if that is to happen with revenue and education and all the rest of the needs?
Yeah. The proponents of reducing taxes of all kinds, generally the other half of that equation is, if we can drive taxes down, but at the same time increase the level of economic activity, that a smaller percentage number of a much bigger overall number will still yield the same amount of revenue or greater revenue. I mean, that's really the end game, is to make the state of Arizona, in the case of Governor-elect Ducey, make the state of Arizona that much more appealing than other states by having these lower tax levels. And of course, then you need to campaign to make sure that you've got more economic vitality, so that the lower percentage still equates to the same or more dollars, because it's a bigger economic pie.
How are we doing now with the economy? I know you're preparing a white paper.
Yep.
The chamber does this on a periodic basis on different issues. Give us a preview of what we can expect. I know you're not going to share with us all the details, but generally what's going on?
Well, what drives a lot of what we do, Bill, is the fact that our local economy here in the Tucson MSA, the Metropolitan Statistical Area, which is the heavily populated area that includes the townships and the unincorporated part of Pima County here in the Tucson area, that our MSA underperforms peer MSAs. We've compared the Tucson MSA to MSAs that are immediately bigger than Tucson and immediately smaller than Tucson, and we really underperform in the area of gross metro product. Gross metro product is to the local community what gross national product is to the country. It's a sum of all goods and services produced. Of the 11 peer markets, 5 bigger than Tucson, 5 smaller than Tucson, Out of those 11 markets, Tucson's number 10 out of the 11. We produce every year, our goods and services produced equate to a little over $33 billion. The average for these almost identically sized MSAs is $50 billion. So that's $17 billion worth of economic prosperity that for some reason we don't have here in the Tucson MSA. So that particular number really drives a lot of what we need to do because we are underperforming in that area. And that means that the household income is depressed here. It means that poverty levels are higher. It's all the things that you really kind of don't want to have that we're very active in changing. The white paper that you're referring to has not been published yet. So you're right, I can't go into a great amount of detail, but it's predicated on a book written by an economic development expert who came up with a framework called a community quality report card. And we got together a group of really, really smart people in a volunteer capacity who mined data in the seven key metric areas suggested by this economic development expert. And he said, mine this data in these seven categories, look back and see if your community was doing it better before than they are now, and then look forward and see, can you do it better than you are now in the future? So there's a past, present, and future context to each one of these seven metrics, and that creates a grid of 21 possible scores. And so we have done mined the data, written the white paper. It's in its final draft phase right now. It'll be proofread this weekend. So that should be coming out in the next week or two. And it really does point to the areas where we're doing well here in Tucson, and there are some areas where we're doing well. It also points to the areas that we need to pick up our game a little bit.
What's the city we're above out of that 11, just out of curiosity?
It's Fresno, California.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, Fresno's at $31 billion, almost 31,890.
Oh, boy.
And we're at 33,353.
So earlier in my career, I worked close in the valley there in the Fresno metro area in the media. But anyway, we'll move on right now. Mike Varney, stick around.
Sure.
We've got another segment with you on the Friday Focus interview on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your kids are grown. The days of ballet recitals and soccer games are over. You're looking forward to the next season of life. It's your time. This is David Clark at Plutus Motor Group, and we have what you're looking for. Late model, low-mileage vehicles from Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, BMW, and exotics like Maserati and other fine imports. Visit our indoor showroom and enjoy the Plutus experience at Dodge and Aho, adjacent to Copenhagen, or online at PlutusMotorGroup.com. Plutus Motor Group. It's your time. 529-1000.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. There's always a party or event going on somewhere, thanks to Arizona Party Rental. We're ready to roll out the red carpet for you. Hey, U of A basketball fans, let's hear what radio analyst Ryan Hansen has to say.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst and vice president with Bon Voyage Travel. Our mission at Bon Voyage is to take the stress out of your travel planning. Our travel advisors will handle all of the details so you can prepare for your trip without the hassles. During my career with Arizona Athletics and Bon Voyage Travel, I've always counted on Arizona Party Rental for my event planning needs. They've handled the details with ease and made it a stress-free experience. Their customer service and knowledge make the party a five-star outing. If you're looking for help planning your next trip, come to the professionals at Bon Voyage. If you're looking for help planning your next event, go to the professionals at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Nice call. And a high five to your team at Bon Voyage Travel. Arizona Party Rental on Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A shout out to Mike Emery and the team over at Perfection Auto Works. I've checked out their operation just off of Speedway on North Beverly. If you have any car needs, repair needs, I strongly recommend check out this locally owned Tucson business, PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Mike Varney is with us. It's our Friday Focus interview. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, let's put you up to the plate right now.
You were talking about the white paper that's coming up. You have the Bayer report, and I'm in front of you. And as I recall, a big part of that was talking about the perception that Tucson and the metro area is not business friendly, and it's very anecdotal. And there was some factual information that was wrong with Pima versus Pima County, as I recall, and the conclusions. And I'm sure those will be fixed for the upcoming report. But as a chamber, how do you address the idea that Tucson is not business friendly with individual stories and people's experiences, while the city and the county are saying, well, we've taken care of a lot of these things, mm-hmm. that perception, though, persists. So mm-hmm. how do you change that if these stories kind of become mythology, and how do you get past that?
Yeah, that's a very complex recipe, Sarah. In my role, I visit with dozens of businesses a month and have either informal visits or formal visits. And the subject of the interface between the public sector and the private sector comes up as a topic a lot. Specific issues that people have with city or county systems and so forth. And we do everything we can, of course, to smooth those wrinkles and bring the right parties to the table to resolve those issues. But they persist. The city and the county have taken steps to address those, and we salute the steps that they have taken, because I think in many cases they've gone a long way to resolve those issues. They put the right people in problem-solving roles and so forth. But still, we hear from contractors usually that it's just a tough place to do business. So part of what we're going to look at in 2015 is, well, what are the specifics of those aspects of interface between the public sector and the private sector that are the sticking points? So your assessment is, yes, both are true. City and the county have made great strides in the right direction. The business community remains unconvinced that we're as good as we need to be or as good as we can be. So we're going to try to get specific about that and bring the two parties together and see what we can do to make it as business friendly as we possibly can. I'm sure, and Mayor Rothschild points this out to me frequently, that some of the concerns that people may have about business friendliness may go back in time a little bit, 5 years, 10 years, before these changes were made. And I'm sure in some cases that's the truth. At the same time, we do hear about glitches in the system that persist today. So we're just going to work together and try to iron this out. This is not a blame-laying exercise. This is about making our community, position it to have the most vibrant possible economy we can.
Let's go to the live line. Ingrid has a question for Mike Varney. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon. Mr. Varney, you've already discussed the concerns and goals of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, but would you mind addressing whose interests you feel are being served or are the concern of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce?
Whose interests are being served?
Yes, and what are the primary concerns of that organization? I'll just hang up and listen. Thank
you. Sure. Ingrid, I'm still not sure I understand your question completely. The Tucson Hispanic Chamber is a fine chamber. They have a unique agenda. There's some overlap between what they do and what we do, and frankly, there's overlap between the agendas of most of the chambers that serve our community here.
And there are how many right now? We had a new one yesterday, Global Chamber.
Yeah. Some are true chambers. And some are more one issues, specific business organizations. But yeah, there's now over 10 organizations that call themselves chambers. But we have a saying in the world of chambers that if you've seen one chamber, you've seen one chamber. What complicates this for a lot of people is the fact that there are so many organizations that have the same last name, and the same last name is Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
It's usually the first name that distinguishes one chamber from another chamber. The Hispanic Chamber has a very strong agenda in international trade. It's something that we pay attention to, but not at the level that they do. There are some other things that they have in their program of work that are fairly unique to the Hispanic Chamber, and Leah does a great job of leading that organization in following through and executing on their program of work. So there's a little bit of overlap, but there's also some very definite areas of uniqueness.
It can get confusing, though, for the public when they see all these chambers, and I suppose in a perfect world it'd be one chamber speaking with one voice.
Well, I hear that from the business community a lot, is that they don't want to write out 10 checks or what they want to write out one or two checks and know that money is going to go towards making the biggest difference possible in our community. So we hear that a lot. There's not a lot that any one organization can do, including ours, to force some kind of consolidation. So that's not something that we're interested in. We are interested, however, in using the clout that we have as the largest business organization in Southern Arizona to make our community more prosperous.
And it is not a copyrighted name, Chamber.
It's not copyrighted. No, you could have the Bill Buckmaster Chamber of Commerce if you wanted to.
I think I'll pass on that. Hey, Sarah, go ahead.
I know the chamber, your chamber, public education has been a real focus, which I think is a positive. With the possible election of Diane Douglas, a candidate for superintendent of public instruction at the state level, who's campaigned on just eliminating Common Core, which is a side note, she can't do if she becomes single-handedly, even if she wins.
Right.
What is your response to that, to her?
Yeah. Well,
what does it say about education in Arizona?
We are, you're right, Sarah. The Tucson Metro Chamber is strongly focused on quality education. And our connection to that, well, there's two. Number one is we just have, as a community, we have a moral obligation to educate our young people. So there's nothing that trumps that. Our principal area of interest in educating our young people is that we need an educated workforce. We need a qualified workforce here if we're going to maintain the industries that we have and if we're going to be attractive to companies that might think about bringing an industry or a company here to Southern Arizona. The Tucson Metro Chamber, the State Chamber, the Phoenix Chamber, the U.S. Chamber, chambers of commerce across this state and across the country are strong proponents of Common Core, because it was governors from both sides of the aisle that created Common Core, along with help from professional educators, to make sure that when our young people graduate from high school, that they have an education that enables them or positions them to compete on a global stage. We've gone from being the most educated population in the world to somewhere around number 15 in terms of educational output. So countries like Poland and Iceland and Finland have all bypassed the U.S. in terms of their ability to educate their young people. And those the jobs of the future in a global economy are going to go to the educated person, and the borders are going to matter very little going forward. Every company, every place in the world is going to be looking for qualified workers. So we're a big fan of Common Core. Disappointed that Diane Douglas is opposed to Common Core, but we're going to do everything we can to see that Governor Ducey includes that in his education agenda.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with Mike Varney. Mr. Varney, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk with Sarah, and Jim Nintzel, senior writer with the Tucson Weekly, is with us to talk about the election right after this.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDART.com. That's TucsonDART.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry, What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson here, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Jim Ninsel has joined us. Jim is senior writer for the Tucson Weekly and now host of the new television program called Zona Politics, which airs on Channel 9 every Sunday morning at 9:30. This is what, week three, Jim?
Week four.
Already.
Yep.
My, how time flies.
We'll be posting it online at TucsonWeekly.com this afternoon. It's a great election breakdown with Bruce Ash and Annie Peterson, who have some pretty different interpretations of what went on Tuesday and what lies ahead for the state.
Oh, I can imagine Anne had probably some very strong things to say about what appears to be our new superintendent of public instruction, Diane Douglas.
Yes, I'm sure Annie does. Yeah. She's very astute and very plugged into public education issues.
You know, I want to pick up a little bit because Mike Varney was talking about Common Core and Diane Douglas's opposition to such. That is and you wrote about this in your column Thursday, mm-hmm. Sarah, in the Star, that that race, it's almost like the folks who hadn't been following the news, and I'm sure there always are a lot, thousands of people that don't, just pretty much voted, if they're a Republican, voted a straight ticket and didn't cross over on that race.
Yes, I think the reason it was so close and is so close, it hasn't been called yet, is the Republicans and David Garcia, the Democrat, had just a legion of Republican endorsements. The people who were paying attention did cross over and voted for him. And I think that Diane Douglas benefited just from having the R next to her name because she did no campaigning, really. She was never really down in the southern part of the state. She did some conservative talk radio interviews. She, in the Phoenix area, she did a televised debate that she was required to do on PBS up in Phoenix. And just the stark contrast between Diane Douglas, who just kept talking about Common Core and local choice and parental choice and keep the federal government out of our business, and David Garcia, who's very accomplished, has worked in the agency before and was clearly a qualified candidate, was just, you couldn't have, I think of all the races, that was the biggest difference between the two candidates. So I think she definitely benefited just from having the R next to her name.
Jim, what do you think?
Well, I think it was not just the R next to her name. I think she was an Anglo woman versus a Hispanic male, and I think that probably played a role in how some voters made up their minds in this race. And I would certainly agree that David Garcia was perhaps the most qualified candidate for superintendent of public instruction we may have ever seen in the state, given his background, his understanding of the office, his work in the office, and his work outside the office. If we are still counting votes in this one, there's more than 200,000 ballots still outstanding, I believe, and a 20,000 vote margin there, and he is closing in and cutting down her lead as more votes are counted, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to get back over the top there.
What are some of your general thoughts about this election, Jim Ninsel?
Well, I think we've got a replay of what we saw in Congressional District 2, which remained the most fascinating race to me personally in this election cycle, the rematch between Congressman Ron Barber and his Republican challenger, Martha McSally, we saw last time a vote count that went on for 10 days, and he finally, Barber finally prevailed by 2,500 votes, and now we've got a vote count that's continuing into overtime here. They're separated by fewer than 400 votes right now. We'll know more at the end of the day, but this was called one of the most suspenseful House races in the country by Politico last week, and I think that's a pretty accurate assessment of what was going on here. I just found it also fascinating, the amount of money that was poured into this race.
What were the final numbers? Something like, was it $10 million or something?
I think it may have even topped $10 million. I'm not, Sarah may have a figure, but I don't have an exact figure, but we know that the candidates themselves raised record-breaking sums of money, and this was a top target for the National Republican Congressional Committee that poured a lot of money in here. You had other outside groups. They had the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in here. You had the House Majority PAC. You had Gabby Giffords, Americans for Responsible Solutions, spending a lot of money in this district. So, and I think one of the more interesting things that's happened is that turnout seems to be much lower in this election than in previous ones. I was taking a look at how many early ballots were returned, and about 75% of the early ballots were returned this year, including the ones that were dropped off on Election Day.
Yeah.
Normally, that number is between 80 and 90%. So
I think it was 84% the last time. Right,
yeah. Right. And in these off years, it doesn't drop below 80% in a general election. So I think what you're seeing is some of this advertising turned off voters, and they decided to sit it out, and I think that's why you're going to see a lower voter turnout in this election than you've seen in past ones.
And I think part of that is just people being, I mean, my husband and I went to have dinner after we voted, and we were wearing our, you know, I voted stickers, and the young man who was the server was like, oh, is there an election today? I don't know what universe he was living in, but and God bless him for avoiding all those ads.
Yeah, but I don't know how he did that.
It was just sort of, but I do think that all the negative ads and just the just viciousness and awfulness is a concerted effort to keep people disengaged. I really do. I do think it is a way to suppress the vote, to just get people to not even want to participate, not even bother, figure it, their vote doesn't matter. And then you get the hardcore conservative voters out to the polls, and it's a matter of turnout.
Let's go to Matthew on the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew has a question. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, well, first I was going to say it'd be really, really sad to ascribe, I think, the surname as the reason for the vote on the superintendent's race. It's sad to even hear Jim have to suggest it. I'm going to attribute it more to just R and D. You know, the R's voted R and the D's voted D. But my question following Mike Barney's thing is to you guys is, what does this say that the Chambers of Commerce on that particular race, the superintendent's race, had absolutely no effect on affecting R's and independents to vote for David Garcia? And what does that bode for the state when the race comes out the way that did? Do they need to reevaluate how they're getting out their message that the importance of issues?
Jim, I think it's more – okay, thank you, Matthew. I think it's just a lot of people don't care about endorsements.
Well, I think that's very true. I don't think an endorsement –
because Garcia got just about every endorsement, didn't he?
He got endorsements from Scott Smith, the Republican candidate who lost in the gubernatorial primary. He got endorsements from previous superintendents. But those endorsements are only worth – what you can get out of them by making sure people are aware of them. And I will tell you that given the amount of money that's being spent now, I believe the power of the media has been significantly diminished in these elections. And I think the way you can get mileage out of those endorsements is if you have enough money to actually broadcast that information to voters, because I don't think they're necessarily turning to the Tucson Weekly or the Arizona Daily Star or the Arizona Republic to say, hey, how are they recommending that I vote? But if you can broadcast that information, if you can get that information out to people, it can make a difference in a race, but you have to have the financial resources to do that. And David Garcia did not have a significant amount of financial financial resources to get information out and with as many voters as there are in Arizona.
I also think superintendent of public instruction is one of those races that people don't hear about all the time. They're probably not. It's like the Board of Regents, yeah, a huge in the Arizona Corporation.
They're not familiar how schools even work in this state.
So. Right. And so, I mean, it's a hugely important position, but I think it's not something like everyone knows what the governor does.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that people don't really pay attention to. It's kind of inside baseball. And so the people who really are interested in it do understand. And I do think that to Matthew's question, that the chamber endorsements did make a difference, and the Republicans endorsing David Garcia did make a difference in making sure that the margin is as narrow as it is. Because if you look at that race is closer than any other statewide race.
Let's go to Jim. Jim is on the live line. Jim Kelly. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, listen, on this Garcia-Douglas race, first off, I'm a Republican. I'm as conservative as they come. And I am also a supporter of Common Core. I'm extremely disappointed that the chamber has not done more to educate the people of Arizona about what Common Core is and what it is not. I'm glad that they did not support Diane Douglas because she's wrong on almost every single point that she campaigned on. But why she won, I agree. It had to do with the state of Maricopa. Because that's where she stayed. That was her base. She was a Russell Pierce Republican from Peoria with zero qualifications for this job. But those Maricopan Tea Partiers are strong. Look at how they took over the Republican Party in Maricopa County.
Okay.
So that's what did it. I honestly believe that's what did it. It has nothing to do with David Garcia's surname, and it's certainly, I believe David Garcia is highly, highly qualified for the position, and I wish I could convince him to become a Republican because the man makes a lot of sense.
Okay, Jim. Thank you, Jim. Jim Nintzel.
I think there are a number of factors involved, but I would say that
folks take an issue with you about the
surname
thing. They
are taking issues about the racial issue there. Listen, I talked to a number of Republicans who said the exact same thing to me. So okay. I'll say I believe it was a factor with some voters.
Unfortunately, I think Jim's right. I mean, I don't think it's something that we want to admit, but I think it's something that is the kind of thing no one's going to say, you know what? I didn't vote for David Garcia because of his last name. But I think it's something that's latent in some voters and may be a factor much as no one wants to talk about it.
Who is heading now with Fred Duvall's influence obviously lessened after taking a big beating? Who would you consider, Jim and Sarah, kind of leading the Democratic Party in Arizona right now?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think there's a lot of wounds to be licked at this point, given the drubbing that they took at the polls this week. But, Kyrsten Sinema up in Phoenix, the congresswoman, will probably be playing a pretty big role in that. She's won a competitive district now at two cycles in a row very handily and is a young person who probably will start to have a great deal more influence.
Is Felicia done? Her name comes up a lot had come up for 2 years, maybe for governor.
You know, she did a great job in the race 4 years ago, coming very close to winning, and then a much bigger loss this year in what was a Republican year, let's face it, across the country, not only in Arizona's. But, I think time will tell on
okay.
that front.
What do you think, Sarah? Who's leading the pack right now? Hard to say.
I think that's the problem with the Democratic Party. We don't have a natural...
I think Steve Farley is
the
name.
Locally,
locally,
and
definitely.
Absolutely.
And I think he can make a name for himself here statewide.
I think that is true. But I think we don't have a natural, here's our natural leader.
We hate to leave anyone out in the cold here on the Buckmaster Show. We're quickly running out of time. We've got 2 minutes with two callers. So, KG, please make your comment very quickly.
Yes, every time somebody loses, they start finger-pointing, saying racial reasons, they don't like a last name. I listened to Allie Miller, and she liked Diane Douglas, and that's good enough for me, partner.
Okay.
I support Allie Miller.
All right. Susie is up next on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Susie.
I'd like to have the gentleman comment, and also Sarah, why, and I want to stay on the line because I want to add 2 cents worth, why you think Common Core is good. Give me your synopsis.
Okay, and I've got 1 minute and 10 seconds.
Synopsis in 1 minute.
Okay, Sarah, why is Common Core good? Give me a bottom line.
I think because it sets standards for what kids should know. It does not say, here's what you need to teach, here's how you need to teach it, but it sets a common playing field across the country. So you can go to second grade in Arizona, move to North Carolina, and you're going to be expected and on the same page, no matter across the country.
Jim Nintzel.
These were standards that were developed by the business community and the governors around the states so that there would not be this federal so-called takeover of education. Now, at the end of the day, of course, this then moves to the federal government, so it can be implemented across the states. But I think there's a great deal of paranoia. I think there are some issues with Common Core. I think there are folks on the left who are concerned about it because of the emphasis on teaching to the test. I think there are folks on the right who are concerned about it because a whole range of reasons, along with a few conspiracy theories.
Okay, Susie, are you still there?
Yes, I am. And I have relatives in Denver, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Greater Denver, and I have one friend here in Tucson, and they think Common Core is an aberration and think it's going to be horrendous.
All right, thank you, Susie, and thank you, Jim Nintzel. We'll look for you, Jim, on TV Sunday morning on Channel 9 with Zona Politics. Thanks, Jim. And Sarah, we'll look for your work in the Arizona Daily Star. Hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of handwoven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. Immerse yourself in these fascinating wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 39% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass is brought to you in partnership with the UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit all these amazing science projects today with the new UA Science Pass.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
All right, it is time for Weekend Watch. Of course, that music signals officially the weekend has begun. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's always a great weekend in Silver City. Lots to do, hiking the Gila, and always exploring the downtown area and all the great antique stores and art galleries in Silver City. You can find out more about Silver City by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. They have all the listings of the great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat and Bear Mountain Lodge. And you can also find out on the website, of course, about the many activities over in Silver City, which is just 3 hours east of Tucson to that lovely mile-high climate. We've got a beautiful climate here this weekend, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Happy Friday to you. I'm about to dive into a slice of pizza and a pint of beer at 1702 on Speedway. I say let the weekend begin.
Matt, of course, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, who is always ready for a Friday night get-together, and what could be more fun than homecoming weekend?
Absolutely. Homecoming is all the buzz this weekend, Bill. And as an alumnus myself, I'm starting the celebration today. Homecoming is officially going to kick off at 5 o'clock tonight at Main Gate Square over near the corner of Park and University for Bear Down Friday. Now, the U of A marching band will be joined by Wilbur and Wilma themselves for the big party, live music, activities for the kids, and, of course, a whole host of specials of food and beverages that you won't want to miss. Now, when I'm down there, I love to check out Wilco. They have an artisan cheese menu featuring nearly 15 different varieties of cheese. Bear Down Friday is from 5 to 8:30 today at Main Gate Square. Should be fun.
Should be a lot of fun. And, of course, buffalo will be on the menu when the Colorado Buffaloes come to town at 6 o'clock tomorrow during the dinner hour. It's always good fishing over at King Fisher.
Yeah, you know, some call it mollusk mania, but I call it heaven on the half shell, Bill. It's the annual Oyster Festival at Kingfisher tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. More than 10 shuckers are going to be on hand in the tented parking lot, and they're going to be expected to collectively shuck more than 3,000 of these beauties. And you'll find about 15 varieties of oysters from the Northwest, Northeast, the Gulf of Mexico, and everywhere in between. They're going to be individually priced from about $1.50 to $3.50 an oyster. And, of course, plenty of options for those preferring their oysters cooked. So I say head over to Kingfisher tomorrow. Let the shucking and slurping begin. I'm in for about 36 myself, Bill. What about you?
I think that sounds about right, and leave that word shucker to a professional for sure. Scott and Company, something special going on.
Yeah, our good friends at Scott and Company, that speakeasy-style bar downtown next to 47 Scott, they're going to be featuring a special cocktail menu to celebrate All Souls Procession on Sunday. They're going to be opening a little bit early, about 5 o'clock, to serve procession goers before the parade, and will continue the festivities afterward until around midnight. Now, 6 new cocktails are going to be showcased, Bill, including the Bloody Punch made with pisco and tequila and grapefruit, and something that I think sounds really great, the Southern Gravity with apple-infused bourbon, cinnamon syrup, and bitters. Thoughtful cocktails for an evening of remembrance at Scott & Company downtown on Sunday. Sounds like a blast.
Sounds like a great weekend. Matt, have a good one.
Cheers to you, Bill.
Is provided by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, all of our friends here at KVOI, Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks, who do a fantastic job engineering the show, and of course, a longtime friend and associate, Rosemary Brandt, who is now my executive assistant, we wish you a wonderful and safe weekend and remind you that The Expert Talk starts tomorrow, bright and early, with Phil Cedar with The Gardening Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks and me, Bill Buckmaster, have a great weekend.